Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle. We are here live, right here on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. Yes, and as I say on every show, if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. But you are not blessed because you're listening to me. But if you are hearing me right now, you are blessed because you are yet in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God praise on today. We welcome you to the show on today. We have a beautiful, beautiful show for you on today. I'm happy to be with you guys on today. I am so excited because of the fact that I'm able to be with you guys. We have a very, very powerful topic, as we do every week. Today, we are going to be talking about the blind eyes of sin. In this life, and as we see down through history, people have turned a blind eye to sin. They try to sugarcoat the sin that people are in. They try to sugarcoat it, and they say, you ever heard of that word, morally good individuals? But if you are born, I'm going to break this down before we get started. You might say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't curse, I don't do this, I don't do that. So I'm a morally good individual. I don't have any sin. I haven't committed a sin. I've never lied, or I've never, I'm trying to be, you know, a stand-up person. Well, I'm here to tell you, even though you are morally good, you are still, if you have not been delivered, if your sins have not been remitted, you are still a sinner. Does not matter. If you're a morally good individual, if you have done things for people, you're still, and even I was, and the reason why I can say this is because we were born in shaping. The Bible says we were born and shapen in iniquity, and iniquity simply means sin. We were born and shapen in sin, and when you were born and when I was born, we didn't have to do anything at all to be in sin. We just had to be born, and as cute and as adorable as a baby is when they're born, they are born sinners. Because of the fall of Adam, being disobedient unto God in the Garden of Eden, that brought on sin. And from Adam on down to now, we are in December, I believe it's December 5th of 2020. A person that is born, they're born in sin. So we're going to look at this topic on today, and it's the blind eyes of sin. Sin can have you blinded. Sin can have your mind warped. Sin does a lot of things negatively to us spiritually and naturally as well, because sin can destroy you both spiritually and naturally. And when you turn a blind eye to the sin that is going on, and if we turn a blind eye to the sin that is going on in our lives, then we're not helping the situation, we're hurting the situation. And sometimes we might say, well, like I said before, that person, if a person leaves off this earth in sin, I'm just going to be, I'm blunt about what I say, but I have Bible to back it up. If a person leaves off this earth in sin, they have doomed themselves to a spiritual death as well, which is they have opened up and they are in utter torment. They're in hell. I'm just going to put it bluntly. And the reason for this is because there is no sin in heaven. You might say, well, we have things going on, and you know, we have people that, like I say, are morally good. Even the morally good individual, if they're not delivered from sin, then they will. It never, because God has no respect of person. But God wants all of us. God, and let me say this, God does not send anybody to hell. He does not. We send our, if you find yourself in hell, it's because you sent yourself. If I find myself in hell, it's because I sent myself. And the reason for that is because when the devil was kicked out of heaven, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, he tried to put himself above God. We all know the scripture where the enemy thought he was above God and he wanted to be above God, and that was wrong and that was a sin, because the Bible says I shall have no other gods before me. I shall have nothing before. He wants nothing before him. He wants nothing after him. And when you go against God's word, you are in sin. You're sinning. Anytime a person is going against God's word, they're sinning. And sin itself draws you away from the Lord. Can draw a person away from the Lord. And when you get so far away, it's hard to get back. I've seen people and I've seen individuals throughout my lifetime go so far where they couldn't get back, or where they've tried to come back and you know, they're in a spirit they're in a place where God has gave them a reprobated mind to where they can't get back. And if you're in a reprobated mind, that's a very, very serious state. That's a very dangerous state to be in, because that means God has given you so many chances and you keep doing the same thing that you're doing, that God turns you over to a reprobated mind. And that's very dangerous. Sin is dangerous. Being in sin, and my pastor says it all the time, that when you walk in sin, whether you are in the church or out of the church, if you have not had your sins remitted, or if you've done a sin and have not confessed that sin, or have not asked the Lord for forgiveness of that sin, and you keep walking in that sin, you're playing Russian roulette with your life. You're playing Russian roulette. It's like taking a bullet and putting it in a gun, and you know, twirling the chamber and putting the gun to your head and seeing if the gun will go off. That's what Russian roulette is. And so that's what playing with sin is. You're taking that sin and you're playing with it, and it's very dangerous. And the reason why I say you're playing Russian roulette with your life, sin, like I said before, sin is dangerous. Sin can take you out of here spiritually. Sin can take you out of here naturally. And when you turn a blind eye to it, we have various scriptures in the Bible where man has turned a blind eye to sin. Amen. Some of them have come to the, after a while, they came to the conclusion that they were in sin and they got it and they corrected it. And then some turned a blind eye to sin, and they didn't correct it, and they found themselves in hell. So, for number one, a very great example, Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Now, he could have repented after he betrayed Jesus. He could have repented. But the sin... The sin makes you feel so low. And a good example of that is Judas, because sin made Judas feel so low. After he committed, after the sin is committed, it makes you feel it's supposed to. If sin doesn't make you feel, if it doesn't convict you, if you're not convicted after you do it, there's something wrong. Then your conscience is seared, and that's a very dangerous place to be in too. And so if you commit a sin, and you feel like, okay, that's just not, you know, that's just me, you know, I'm going to live my life, and you don't feel no conviction, you might want to check yourself. You might want to check yourself. You might want to check and see where you're at in God, because if you find yourself that way, then that's a problem. That's very dangerous. And it's more dangerous to be in sin and know you're in sin and don't feel any conviction behind what you've done, because there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. Sins of commission, omission means there are sins that that you don't know that you've done, that you don't know you're committing, and then there are sins that you know you committed and you know you were wrong. And we have a lot of people that try to justify their sin. Oh, the Lord will, as such as this, the Lord will forgive me. You try to put a Band-Aid over your sin. No, you need to get rid of it and deal with it. Just deal with it. Just deal with the sin. Deal with take it at face value. Deal with it and move on. But we as people, turn a blind eye because sin, our flesh, look, let me tell y'all something. Sin does not feel good. It only feels good to the flesh. But your spiritual man is dying. When you live your life in sin, your spiritual man is dying. And it's very, very hard to live this life when your spiritual man dies. Spiritual man is dying. It's very hard to live. You don't have any peace. You don't have any joy. You hardly have any joy. And what you seek for peace and joy only brings you temporary comfort, and it only brings a temporary fix to a major problem, which is sin. The problem is sin. The fix is remitting those sins, asking for forgiveness of those sins, and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. And then going and doing a 180 instead of a 360. See, some people will ask for forgiveness who are not truly repentant, even in the church, because I'm going to hit the church too. Even in the church, we say we're sorry, but yet we go back and do the same thing again. We find ourselves on the altar again and again. Every Sunday we find ourselves on the altar for the same thing that we just said, that we just told the Lord what that we're sorry about. And this is turning a blind eye to it, because we don't want to take it for face value. We don't want to face it, because some of us might feel like, hey, it's going to be too hard for me to come out of this, or I can't come out of this. But let me tell you something. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You can do this. You can get out of this. With the help of the Lord, you can get out of this. And if you are a person that's never heard of this gospel, that's never had your sins remitted, you can be saved. There are some people, look, let me show y'all something. And I'm talking to the church when I say this. We have so many individuals. We have a lot of individuals. I mean a lot. Millions upon millions of people that have yet to know God. And you being the person that you are, being the saved person that you are, if you are walking in sin and somebody's watching you, you're being a hindrance to them. You're being a stumbling block to them. And you need to stop. Because I've seen individuals in my own life, I've seen individuals that are not saved that's watched other people that say they were saved don't want to be saved because they're watching them in sin. And they feel like they can't do it. They feel like, well, if the Lord didn't keep them, what makes you think he's going to keep me? The Bible says we're like a book to be read by all men. You might be the only Bible that they see, but you want to please see in this walk, it's not meant for you to please your flesh. It's meant for you to please God Himself. You're not on this earth to please your flesh. You're on this earth to do what God has called for us to do. We're on this earth. We're not. And look, I preached a sermon one time, and it was titled, "Your Life Is Not Your Own." Your life don't belong to you. Amen. As much as your pretty little penny pop self, as much as your handsome self, you can love yourself, but your life don't belong to you. Sir, ma'am, your life don't belong to you. As much as John want to be John, your life don't belong to you, John. Sarah, as much as your life belong to you, as much as you say, this is my life, your life don't belong to you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it's time to stop turning a blind eye to sin. We got so many people blinded by sin. And look, don't you know that sin, when sin blinds you, don't you know you're blinded from your destiny? The destiny that God has set for you, the blinders are on. When you're walking in sin, you can't reach your full potential in Christ. God died so that you might be able to reach your full potential in Christ, so that you might be able to reach your destiny. Forget all of the look, my former pastor used to say, you're living beneath your privilege. When we turn a blind eye to sin, don't you know that you're living? You want one more night with the frogs? And who's to say that one more night? Who's to say that you'll even get back? I had a friend, and for example, I had a friend that to be saved. Knew my life, had known my life for years, watched me for years, and I witnessed to this individual and witnessed to this individual and witnessed to this individual. This individual had even been a visitor at my church. Got up into adulthood. We had still been friends. One of my best friends. And wanted to be saved, wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name, wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had waited. They had called me and told me that they wanted to be saved, that they had wanted to be, that they wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name and everything, and how they told me this. And I said, you know what, I will give you such as number, and they will baptize you and everything. And the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost if you really, really want it. And they told me, you know, I'm going to wait, because I was out of the state around this time. And I had went to go visit some family in California. And, they came and they called me. They were here in Indianapolis, and they called me, and they was like, man, I need to get my life together. I need to get saved, you know, da-da-da-da-da. They just kept they kept going through the motions, and they kept telling me that they wanted to be saved. And I told this individual, I said, well, they said, I wanna get baptized, and I want because we were so close as friends that their father and my father, we would call each other's fathers Pop. I would call his father Pop. He would call my father Pop, you know, that type of thing. We got so close, that close. And he said, you know, I just don't want just anybody to baptize me. And they said, I want Pop to baptize me. They were referring to my father. And I said, okay. And I gave them my father and my mother's number. And I told them, you call them right now. Or you call them this week and tell them that you want to be baptized. And they will, and I guarantee you, they'll find a way to baptize you. And the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost if you want it. And they began to tell me, well, where are you at? And I began to tell them I was in California, and they said that they wanted to wait until I got home. I said, don't you wait on me. I said, if the Lord is dealing with you right then and there, deal with that right then and there. Go ahead and get baptized right then and there, because I may not make it back. Who knows? I may, something might happen. I don't know. Didn't nothing happen, but still, I was still giving that, you know, basically telling them, don't wait. If the Lord is tugging at you right then and there, don't wait. And shortly later, while still out visiting family members in California, this individual tragically passed away. Never called. Never got a phone call. My father never got a phone call. My mother never got a phone call from the individual. So now, what is it left? What are they left with? What are they left with? Because you put it off, and I said that to say this, when we put off dealing with sin, we put up a blind eye to sin because it feels good to the flesh. But we got to crucify the flesh. We got to deal with the issues. Just deal with it. It might be hard. It might seem it's gonna be hard, because when you get saved, you're going to make sacrifices. You're going to sacrifice something. It's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a sacrifice. And this is the reason why I wanted to hit this today, because in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, we're going to go there real quick, and we're going to look at this. And we're going to look at another scripture after we read this, but I wanted to do this. I wanted to bring this out real quick. This is why we don't need to be turning a blind eye to sin. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 14, and then we're going to drop down to verse 16 and read to verse 20. But it says, and this is why the Lord gave me this topic today. I was reading this this week, and Matthew chapter 15 verse 14 says, "Let them alone. They that be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch." Now, what this is saying to us is that if you have a leader that's blind, this is basically telling you not to do, don't follow them. My former pastor said it a lot. If you see me doing wrong, and this made me see hold leaders to a higher standard. The statement that she made, and she made this from the pulpit while she was preaching. My former pastor said, "If you see me doing wrong, don't you follow me. I don't care what it is. If you see me doing wrong, don't you follow me." And that was powerful. because here we have so many different preachers and we have so many denominations and so many different doctrines, and we got some shady leaders, spiritually and naturally. We got shady leaders. We got people that have itching ears that want to hear any type of doctrine that sounds good to the ear. But this verse right here tells us, them alone, they that be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. That means if you're following a blind leader, you're just as guilty as that leader is. You're just as guilty. If you know that this person is leading you the wrong way, you're just as guilty. You're just as guilty. Now, we're going to look at verse 16 through 20 in Matthew chapter 15. It says, do not ye... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. And Jesus said, are ye also ye without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drift? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thieves, false witnesses, blasphemers. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what this is saying to us is, it's saying that whatever's in your heart, whatever you put down inside of you, is going to come out. So you make sure that you have, make sure that you have good foundation inside of you. Whatever, and make sure you have a good leader putting a good foundation inside of you. Amen? Make sure you have, and you know what? It's all about, and I said this in a sermon one time, we have to have accountability. We have to have accountability in the church and out of the church. A lot of people don't want to be held accountable for their actions. We got people in the church and out of the church that don't want to be held accountable for what they do. They don't want to fess up to what they've done, and it looks scary to them. They are afraid of the trouble that they might be in. Are they afraid of the consequences of what they've done? Now, granted, there are some people that feel, and if you take it to a spiritual, use it in a spiritual term, that they feel like they've been in so much sin that they can't get out. That's a different, there's two different sides to that. There's a difference between a person sinning and feel like they can't come out versus a person that's sinning and know that they sin and just want to continue in it. And the reason why I say there's two different types of people, because there are some people that really want to come out of the sin that they're in, but they feel like they cannot come out. Well, I'm going to talk to you today. You can come out. No matter what it is, you don't have to stay in that bed of affliction. You don't have to stay in that bed of sin. Why? It doesn't matter. It does not matter what you've done. If you want to come out of that sin, if you want to come out of those sins, if you want to come out of sin, period, if you want your sins to be remitted, you can have your sins remitted. Well, you might say, I've done so much. I've done too much. I've done too much to be able to come out of this. Let me tell you something. Don't you know that Paul considered himself the chief sinner? Which means he's the highest of sinner man. He considered himself the chief sinner. And if Paul can be delivered, and if the various ones, if the disciples can be delivered, if I can be delivered, if Bishop Cook can be delivered, if the saints that you see can be delivered from sin, then why not you? Just because you're in this state does not mean that you can't come out. This is what God died for. This is what Jesus died for. He died for the sins of mankind. He died for the sins. He died for your sins. He died for mine. This is why he died. And like I said before, in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. The strength comes through the Holy Ghost. It says in the Bible where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, he basically asked Jesus, what must I do? What do I got to do to see the kingdom? What do I got to do? What do I got to do to come out of this? And Jesus told him, he said, except a man be born again of the water and the spirit, you got to be born again. Let me break that down to you. When you're born again, it does not mean that you're having a natural birth. It means you're having a spiritual birth. Being born again, you've had your natural birth. You've been born into this world. You were born into this world of sin, and you did nothing wrong. Let me tell you something. Look, just because you're in sin does not mean you might have done some stuff, but you were already in sin when you came into this world, and you did nothing wrong. You did nothing. Let me say this to you again. You did nothing wrong to have sin upon your life. Because you came into this world with sin on you. You did nothing wrong. Only thing you had to do was be born. Only thing you had to do was be conceived into this world. But let me tell you something. God gave you a way out. Because when he went to the cross, he died that you might have life. So you won't have to turn a blind eye to sin, because turning a blind eye to sin leads to destruction. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. See, sin needs a down payment. When we commit sin, there needs to be a down payment. Just like you purchase something. You purchase something that needs to be, if you have it on loan, say you go to a errands or a rent-a-center or anything like that, you have to have a down payment on this. And that down payment, when it comes to sin, is death. It's death. Sin, and like I said, sin can take you out of here both ways. It can take you out of here spiritually, and it can take you out of here naturally. Sin alone is detrimental to your life. And turning a blind eye to it just to please the flesh is dangerous. Just to please the flesh. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the love of a woman. I don't care if it's the love of a man. I don't care if it's the love of... Look, you can't put anything before your salvation. You cannot put anything before your spiritual life. You can't put anything above your eternal life. Because I've said it once and I'll say it again. You got one shot. everybody got one shot to make it. You got one. You can have a million and one cars. You can have a million and one homes. We can have a million. We can have a billions upon billions of dollars, but you only got one life. You got one life to drive all those cars. You got one life to stay in all them homes. You got one life to spend all that money. You got one life. And you got one shot. I got one shot. Bishop Cook got one shot. You might say, well, you know what? No, I don't, because I can live. If I don't make it in the rapture, I can make it during the tribulation. Let me tell you something, huh? That's a very broad statement, and that's a very dangerous statement to make. Might say, how? Why is that a very dangerous statement to make? Because how are you gonna make it in the tribulation and you can't make it now? Uh-oh. I ain't going to take the mark of the beast. Never say what you would do. Don't ever say what you won't do. Because everybody, whether you saint or sinner, we are one grip away from destruction. It's by the Lord's grace and his mercy that we have not fallen into destruction. We are one thought away. We are one sin away from destruction. It's by the grace of God that we have not fallen into destruction. We can't keep ourselves. We don't even know ourselves. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. You think you know yourself, but you don't know yourself. I don't even know myself the way I think I do. The Lord knows me better than me. I think the only person, I think the only person earth-wise that's on the earth that is in human form, I believe the only person that knows me better, when you say somebody that knows you in the natural, I think the only person that really knows me better, better than anybody is my father. My father knows me. But that's the same way with Jesus. Look, my father said something to me when I was little. And I compare the statement to Jesus, like Jesus. My father said something to me when I was little. He said, everything you do, everything you do, I'll know about it. Everything you do, I'll know about it. And my hand before God, I kid you not, my father knows me. Even being 33 years old, he still knows his son. He knows everything. I kid you not. Every single time I've talked, I don't even have to be in miles of him. I can be far, far away from him, and he know me. He know when I'm hurting. That's because he's my father, and he's supposed to know. Same thing with my children. I know them. Look, one day I told my children the same thing my father told me. My oldest son tried to do something, and he was trying to be mischievous about it. And it wasn't nothing bad. He was just playing with his grandfather, and he was going to spray his grandfather with a water gun. And you know, he at that time his grandfather didn't want to play or whatever, and he went into the kitchen. And before he could even load up the water in the water gun, He set the water gun on a different table, but he went in there and turned on the water. And I came around the corner, I came into the kitchen, and I said, "Don't fill up that water gun." And he said, "How did you know what I was getting ready to do?" I didn't have no inkling of what he was doing, but I just knew. I didn't know that he was getting ready to spray his grandfather with a water gun, that he had a thought of spraying his grandfather, playing with his grandfather. But I told him, don't put that water in that water gun. Don't you spread it in this house. And he said, well, how did you know what I was getting ready to do? I told him the same thing my father told me. You are my son, and I will know everything you do. It's my job to know. And I put that in the term with Jesus. Jesus is supposed to know everything that we do. He knows everything about us. He knows our ups from our downs. He knows our beginning from our ending. And that is why we should take heed to the word of God. That is why we should take heed to not turn a blind eye to sin. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why he died for us. That's why he was here to set us free. Because he knows our destiny. He knows the enemy's going to try to bring stuff to you to delay or denounce your destiny in him. He knows how powerful you are in him. The devil really don't know how powerful you are in God. He think he know. That's why he tries to put things in front of you to keep you in the sin that you're in. When he puts those thoughts of, well, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can come out. Honey, baby girl, let me tell you something. You can come out. Young man, you can come out. I speak it over you today. You ain't got to turn a blind eye to sin today. We ain't got to turn a blind eye no more to sin, whether you in the church or out of the church. But let me show y'all something before we wrapping up. But I want to show you something. I'm going to show you what sin does. Sin warps your mind. Sin can warp your mind into thinking a thought that's not even truly, that's not true. For example, I said it before, a person that thinks that they've done so much that they cannot be delivered. That's a warped mind. That's a warped mind. I'm going to give you the remedy of a person that can be out of that warped mind, that can come out of that warped mind. Let's go to Romans. And I know all you Bible scholars, all your Bible scholars, get ready. I know where I'm getting ready to go with this. Some of y'all know. Some of y'all might know where I'm getting ready to go with this. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love this verse. Lord's telling me to go here. For the people that think that you can't make it. See, your mind has been warped to the plan that, to the thought that, hey, I can't come out of this. Well, let me help you. Let me help you today. See, you have to have a made-up mind. And when you get deliverance, when you receive salvation, when you know, when you have beyond the shadow of all doubt that, hey, this deliverance, this salvation is going to help me keep me. This salvation is going to help me be saved. This salvation is going to keep me whole. This salvation is going to keep me until the coming of the Lord. See, and you know what that is? That's having a renewed mind. See, your salvation starts with your mind. Salvation starts in the mind. Let me show you how. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let's stop right there real quick. Let's stop right here real quick. Let's go through this. Let's go through this verse real quick. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There we go, right there. I said it earlier. When you walk with God, there's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some sacrifice. You're going to have to make the sacrifice. But when you turn a blind eye to sin, your flesh don't want to sacrifice nothing. especially when it's being pleased. I promise you, I kid you not, your flesh, and I don't mean this skin and bone neither. When I say the flesh, I'm talking about your mind, your mind, the thought process of your mind, when you think you can't come out, or when you think you can't be saved, or when you think, hey, this sin is gonna take me over, I just gotta lay, or when you think, hey, I just gotta get some more of that, or you think, hey, I ain't got no peace, I ain't got no joy, so I got to go over here and find some peace and some joy. I got to smoke this to get some peace. I got to drink this to get some peace. The devil is a liar. See, you're going to say, don't you know that if God tells you to walk in something, don't you know, if God tells you to come out of sin, don't you think that God will have something else in its place? God just don't leave you empty-handed. God don't just leave you with an empty and void place. He put something else in that place, something that will sustain you. He told the woman at the well, I will give you water that you may never thirst again. He replaced that water. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He replaced that natural water with spiritual waters that she would never thirst again. So everything that you need is in Jesus. And he replaces it. He replaces that which you have sacrificed. He replaces it with joy and peace. The things with joy and peace in it. The things with love in it. The things with salvation in it. He takes that and when you turn a blind eye to it, when you turn a blind eye to sin, you use the excuse, people use the excuse, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, God does know your heart. That's why he wants to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh so he can mold it and shape it. Because when you came into this world, you came into this world a sinner, and you came into this world with a sinful nature, and you came into the world with a sinful heart. And a sinful heart is stony. You can't mold it and shape it the way it needs to be. Like the potter at the potter's wheel. A potter can't mold brick. But it has to be clay first. You can't mold a brick. You can't. You can't mold it and shape it. You might say, well, it might take a while for you to mold it in a brick, a hard brick. You're gonna have to take a nail and you're gonna have to hammer it down and all that stuff. That's a lot of work. Why work hard work smart and not hard. God has given you the remedy to work smart and not hard. Let him mold you. Let him. But when you turn a blind eye to sin, you're not letting him mold you. You're not letting him lead you and direct you. Amen. But you have to let him. And this is what happens when you let him. See, I said salvation starts in the mind. You have to think. You have to think it. You have to understand that this salvation is going to keep me. See, once you hear the word, you have to believe what you've heard. And it has to go, it has to stop in your mind. Once you believe what you heard and you thought about what you've heard, once you've thought about what you've heard, then you'll believe what you hear. And you believe what you hear, then you'll act on what you hear. Amen? You'll act on it. You act on what you've heard. You act on what you believe in. But I'm going to go here. There's going to be sacrifices. And this is just it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You're doing this for the Lord. You're not doing this for man. You're not doing this for your mother, your father. You're doing this. You're not even doing this for you. You're doing this unto God. This is, and it says, which is your reasonable service. This is just reasonable. Amen. This isn't the tip of the iceberg. This is just the sugar-coated topping of the cake. This ain't the whole cake. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the icing on the cake. That's just your reasonable service. Verse 2, this is where we get into the transformation of the mind. If you got a warped mind, I'm going to help you. If you got a warped mind about sin, about your flesh, I'm going to help you. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be transformed. That's why I say it. Salvation starts in the mind. God will start transforming your mind. He'll start molding you and shaping you into what he wants you to be. Because you were put here. God brought you here for his purpose. His design for your life was for you to reverence him. The destiny that he has for you is not just set out for you, but it's set out to reverence God. He's using your life to show other people that, hey, God is a good God, that God is able. But you have to get to that destiny. You have to get, you got to stop, we have to stop turning a blind eye. And even in the church, you preachers that are preaching false doctrine, stop turning a blind eye to sin. Because you're just hurting yourself and you're hurting the people. You're hurting the people because they're turning a blind eye to it because you're turning a blind eye to it. We read it before. A blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Y'all both going to go in the ditch. But let me tell you something, man of God. Let me tell you something, woman of God. If you're preaching false doctrine, if you're preaching that it's okay to sin, that you're preaching wrong is right and right is wrong, then guess what? You're going to get it worse. You're going to get it worse because you're held to a higher standard. You're going to get it worse. Yeah, that person that's following you going to get it, but you're going to get it worse because you told them. And the blood is on your hands. The blood is on the man or woman of God that tells these, that tells the body of Christ the wrong way or tell a sinner man that they can... Well, it's okay. It's just a little white lie. It's all right. No, it's not all right. You're going to open up the floodgates to hell because you want your flesh to be pleased? I done seen it. You're going to open up the floodgates of hell to somebody. You're going to lead them to hell so that your flesh can be pleased or so that you can receive fortune or so that you can receive the fame you want. You want the people in the seats all because you want the money. You better get over yourself. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why do you want to take other people with you? At least be a good leader and don't take them with you. You want to go? Look, let me tell you something. If you want to go to hell by yourself. Go to hell by yourself. Because I'm not accompanying you to hell. I'm sorry. People that have leaders like that, tell your leader. Look, be bold enough to tell your leader. If your leader telling you that right is wrong and wrong is right, and they telling you, for example, if they telling you a little white lie won't hurt you, the devil is a liar. You better tell that leader to go on somewhere. Be bold enough to tell him. Be bold enough to tell them. If you're scared to tell them, bring them on. Call this show and I'll tell them. I'll tell them for you. Call the show. And I'm telling you right now, if you have a leader and we can go one-on-one, you can call your leader and tell them, hey, leader, I want you to call in with me to the summit and we'll talk about it. We ain't going to have no debates, but we're going to talk about it. You afraid to tell them that, hey, I need to get away from you? I'll tell them for you. She need to leave you. She trying to get her soul right. He trying to get his soul right. I'm that bold and I'm that prime on souls. I'm that good for souls. Anytime a soul want to be saved, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I hope you guys enjoyed the topic on today. I pray that you guys have a very, very blessed week because, man, we are in the Christmas season.
Yeah.
We are in the Christmas season, and I hope you guys now, I believe next week will be my last week before Christmas. We're going to have to sit down but I believe we're going to have a show after Christmas. But we're going to be talking about, since it's going into the Christmas season next week, we're going to be talking about the Christmas season on next week.
All right, man.
We're going to be talking about the true meaning of Christmas and what the true meaning of Christmas is, because they boy, Jesus, they got it twisted. Man got it twisted. Now, I know for the children, they want their gifts and everything. That's all right. That's okay. There's no harm in that. That's innocent. But when you take the whole meaning of Christmas out of it and you're making it a business, then that's a problem. And we're going to talk about it on next week. But I pray that you guys have a very, very blessed week. Continue. I know this Christmas season is going to be very, very different because of the pandemic. Make sure, and I was, before we leave, I want to share this with you real quick. I saw on the news that the coronavirus is spiking. So be wise this Christmas season. Be wise. Be very, very wise. If you feel like you don't need to go over Aunt Sarah's to have them greens, make some greens of your own at your house just to be safe. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to use the hand sanitizer. Continue to wash your hands and different things like that. And just be blessed, y'all, and continue to have a very, very, very blessed week on next week. And if, like I say on every show, like my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again or if you don't hear me again on this week, on next week, if you don't hear me again or if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. I want to thank Bishop Cook for allowing us to come one more week and just coming on here to bless everybody.
Amen.
To give, be a blessing to everybody in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. Have a very, very blessed week, everybody. This is The Summit with Adam Tuggle. God bless you, and I will see you all next week in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.